Hey, I'm Chris.
What's up? I'm Mars.
And you're listening to Surgery Shelf Prep. Welcome back, future surgeons. Today, Mars and I are getting down and dirty with orthopedic trauma, understanding these injuries, their classic presentations, and how to manage them is key to not only acing your exam, but also providing stellar patient care.
You got that right, Chris. We're going to break down, pun intended, three super high-yield nerve injuries associated with fractures. Axillary nerve injuries with proximal humerus fractures, radial nerve injuries with mid-shaft humerus fractures, and ulnar nerve injuries with distal humerus or medial epicondyle fractures.
Let's kick things off with the axillary nerve, often implicated in proximal humerus fractures or anterior shoulder dislocations. So Mars, what's the classic presentation we need to be looking for?
Picture this. Your patient comes in after a gnarly shoulder injury. What sets off your alarm bells for an axillary nerve hit? They'll present with deltoid weakness and a distinctive loss of sensation over the lateral shoulder, often called badge patch numbness. These patients cannot abduct their arm more than 15 degrees.
Classic. And why does this happen? What's the pathophysiology here?
It's all about anatomy. The humeral head or the glenoid rim can injure the axillary nerve as it navigates through a tight spot called the quadrilateral space. Imagine a bone fragment just squishing that poor nerve. Ouch.
So how do we diagnose this, especially in the heat of the moment?
Timing is everything. Test resisted abduction and perform a pinprick sensation check over the deltoid, both before and after any reduction maneuver.
That before and after exam is a massive takeaway. Any pearls for treatment or pitfalls to avoid?
Most nerve injuries are neuropraxias, a temporary conduction block, and they typically recover within 12 weeks. But do not skip that pre-reduction nerve exam or you'll risk an iatrogenic palsy claim. Not chill.
Good job. Remember that if you are splinting an extremity, be on the lookout for the development of compartment syndrome from the cast. The injured extremity can swell, leading to injury to nerves in addition to ischemia of the limb.
All right, moving on. Let's talk about the mid-shaft spiral humerus fracture and its notorious partner in crime, the radial nerve. Hit us with the classic presentation for this one.
For a radial nerve injury with mid-shaft humerus fracture, you're looking for wrist drop. The patient can't extend the wrist. You'll also see loss of MCP, metacarpophalangeal extension, and numbness over the dorsal thumb web space.
And the why behind this wrist drop? What's going on anatomically?
The radial nerve spirals around the humerus in the Holmsteen-Lewis groove. A spiral mid-shaft humerus fracture can lacerate or injure the nerve as it wraps around the bone.
Yikes! How do we diagnose a radial nerve injury?
Do a thorough motor and sensory exam. Check wrist and finger extension and test sensation. No return of function by 6 weeks, get an EMG.
Treatment and pitfalls?
If the patient requires a cast, never cast the wrist in flexion. It can hide an evolving wrist drop. Keep it neutral or slightly extended.
Excellent point.
Third on our list, the ulnar nerve, commonly injured in distal humerus or medial epicondyle fractures. What should listeners look for?
Expect numbness in the fourth and fifth digits and weak inner ossi, which can lead to the classic claw hand deformity.
And how does the fracture mess with the ulnar nerve?
The ulnar nerve passes through the cubital tunnel and can get subluxed or entrapped by fracture fragments or callus.
Diagnosis?
Start with tinel sign at the elbow and AP and lateral elbow films. Tinel sign is performed by tapping over the ulnar nerve at the cubital tunnel, which is posterior to the medial epicondyle. A positive sign is when the patient complains of pins and needles in the fourth and fifth digits. If symptoms persist beyond 12 weeks, get a nerve conduction study.
Treatment and traps?
Be careful. Casting the elbow in more than 90 degrees of flexion can cause an iatrogenic ulnar neuropraxia.
Wow, that was a solid rundown of three high-yield topics related to nerve injuries, axillary, radial, and ulnar nerve.
Absolutely.
To wrap up, here are your five high-yield facts to take with you. 1. Axillary nerve injury from proximal humerus injuries, deltoid weakness, and loss of badge patch sensation. Patients can't abduct the arm beyond 15 degrees. 2. Radial nerve injury from a mid-shaft humerus fracture. Wrist drop plus loss of MCP extension and numbness over the dorsal thumb web space. 3. ulnar nerve injury from a distal humerus fractures, numbness in the fourth and fifth digits with weak interossei, leading to claw hand deformity. 4. Crucial diagnostic step. Always perform a pre-reduction nerve exam to avoid claims of iatrogenic palsy. 5. Treatment pitfall. Be on the watch for developing compartment syndrome in fractured extremities. Daily motor, sensory, and vascular exams are crucial. All right, team, keep studying. We will see you next time here on Surgery Shelf Prep.
Later.